Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look to the Word of God today, Isaiah chapter 43. The title of the message today, I Call You By Name. I Call You By Name. The Lord knows every one of us personally and speaks to our life individually, guides us and helps us. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. They hear me. So let's allow the Lord to speak to us today. And I want to look at Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7. I sense direction that I want to preach through these seven verses in an expositional way and allow the Lord to speak to us and the Holy Spirit to parcel out the word according as it is needed in each of our lives. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7, these amazing words of the prophet Isaiah. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. What exceeding great and precious promises are in these verses for all of us. And the Holy Spirit wants to know that this word is directly for us as his people today. The Lord says, I have redeemed you. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. Fear not. And we don't fear because we've been accepted in the beloved. We have peace with God now through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we've accepted the work and the provision of the cross, we've entered into the salvation of the Lord. Fear is over. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day, and that the wicked are under the impending judgments of God. And we were there at one time, but the Lord has delivered us out from our sin, from our guilt, from all our iniquity, out from being sons of Satan, out from under the devil's reign into the kingdom of God, now to be sons of God, and we can call the Father in heaven our Father because we have been redeemed by the Lord. Fear not, I've called you by name. You are mine. The first verse, but now thus saith the Lord God that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel. First question we should ask this morning is, who is this Jacob? Who is this Israel that God is talking about? Is this a people after the flesh? Is this an ethnic group, a people of certain nationality, or is this a spiritual people? Who is the Jacob company in the Bible? Who is the Israel of God? And we should remind ourselves that the Bible says that there is only one people of God of all time, and that is the true people of the Lord, gathered right from the beginning when the seed of the promise was given, that one would come to crush Satan's head and release the people. And from that moment in the garden, as Adam and Eve responded to the Lord and became part of the saving company, that company has been one people. There is only one true people of God of all time, the redeemed of the Lord. We call it the body of Christ, all the people that have been gathered together under the headship of Christ, the Israel of God, the Jacob of God. As the Bible says in Galatians 6:16, you are the Israel of God. There is an Israel of God. Romans 9:6, the Apostle Paul said, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. So they are not all the true seed of God, true Israelites who are of the nation of Israel, but those alone who have put faith in Jesus Christ. From Abraham came two lines of people, and one was the natural seed, and the other was the spiritual seed that would bring the people of God of all nations into the gospel. And we understand that a true son of Abraham is not someone that has the blood of Abraham in their veins, but the faith of Abraham in their spirit. We are the seed of Abraham. We are the true Israel of God. And when Isaiah is prophesying, he is not speaking to a natural people. He is speaking to those among that natural people in that day, but to all nations of the world prophetically who will be gathered together into Christ. He's created us, O Israel. He's formed us, O Jacob. Who is the Jacob company? Jacob is the man who wrestled with God, or we should say God wrestled with him. There was a night when the heavenly man came, Jesus Christ himself, and wrestled with Jacob and subdued his flesh life. For Jacob had a real heart for God, but he was also a man that had a lot of conniving in his own spirit. He was very self-willed. He was strong in his own nature. And that nature was struggling against the spirit within him and the spiritual work God wanted to do. And one night God visited him and God struck him in the flesh so that he walked with a limp the rest of his life. But at that moment his name was changed from Jacob, supplanter, conniver, cheater, to Israel, a prince with God. God subdued him in the flesh. God broke the flesh life in him, and he became a prince with God, someone who could now rule and reign in Christ and walk in victory. I thank God that he knows how to subdue us. I'm thankful for the heavenly man that comes to wrestle with us and break our flesh life. And we walk with a lifelong limp. We're different than other people in this world. We walk differently. We walk a different way. We walk a different manner. And the world may laugh at us, and they may mock us for the way we walk, but we know who we are. We are kings and priests with God. We are sons of the Most High. We are that Jacob company in the earth. So when Isaiah begins to prophesy here in Isaiah 43, he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me. He's speaking to the true people of God. He speaks to those who have been created. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. But now says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. He calls us by our own name. Lazarus, come forth. And one man stepped out of the tomb, spiritually speaking of death in trespasses and sins. And there was a day when Jesus Christ called you and he called me. We heard his voice. He called us out of death. He said, you're mine. I'm going to take you. I'm going to form you. You belong to me forever. How many are thankful that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? How many are thankful you're redeemed, that you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and you belong to God and he knows you by name. He calls you by name. Abraham, the Lord said one day, go outside and look at the stars and see if you can count them. And then look at the dust of the earth. And Abraham, next time you're at the seashore, take a look at the grains of sand as well. For so shall your descendants be. Abraham as the stars of the heaven. And God knows every one of them by name. He calls them all by name. And as the dust of the earth and the sand of the sea, so shall your descendants be. A visible reminder day and night. Every night when Abraham looked up at the stars, he was reminded of the multitudes of nations of people that would come and be gathered to the true faith of the Son of God. When he looked down at the dust as he walked those roads, when he was by the seashore and looked at the sand, he was reminded of the great company of people that would be gathered out of every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation and become part of the true Israel of God, the true people of God. Isaiah is prophesying to us. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Waters and rivers, floods and fires, There are oppositions, there are obstacles, there are enemy forces that we go against as we attempt to gain our inheritance in God and walk out our Christian life. Sometimes we face waters. Sometimes we have to pass through the waters to gain inheritance on the other side. Occasionally, God gives us a miracle, like he did Peter. And Peter walked on top of the waves, those choppy seas of Galilee, and Peter was walking up and down those pitching, rolling waves that night because he had a command from God. Jesus said, come, come walk on the waters. Sometimes we walk a miracle life. We walk over circumstances and hardly know that we're passing over them or through them. There's such a lift of God in our spirit. In miracle natural terms, in the Indonesian revival of 1965, reports came out of Indonesia of believers that had crossed swollen rivers as they carried the gospel, as they went from village to village sharing the gospel of Christ, supernatural miracles. But there are times that we must pass through the waters. And the Lord said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Now there is harvest, there is increase, there is inheritance on the other side of the waters. But we sometimes have to pass through the waters. Like David's mighty man in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. My, what a company of men. And we've got a greater King David. That's Jesus Christ our Lord. And we must learn how to ford the waters, make our way through. Let's look at these wonderful men, these Gadites. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 8, and of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might, and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes or gazelles upon the mountains. Ezer the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmanah the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth, Eliel the seventh, Johanan the eighth, Elzabad the ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, Macbani the 11th. Mentioned seven men recorded in the Word of God because God sees the effort of every life. These were the sons of Gad, captains of the host. One of the least was over 100 and the greatest over 1,000. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month when it had overflown all his banks. And they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. These are they which went over Jordan in the first month, in the springtime, harvest time, when it had overflown all his banks. Then they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. These men were in the hold with David on the west side of the Jordan. They were from the 2.5 tribes that were on the Transjordan, the east side of the Jordan. The enemy had seized their land. And now these men were with David in the hold, and they said, the enemy, it's not right. The enemy should plunder our land. The enemy should have the harvest. The enemy was smug and secure. They're on the Transjordan. It's flood time. Harvest time is flood time. The Bible says in Joshua 3:15 that the Jordan overflows its banks all the time of harvest. The Jordan overflows its banks all the times of harvest. Harvest time is flood time. If we're going to take some harvest, we're going to have to make our way across the Jordan. We're going to have to make our way through some floods. We're going to have to pass through some waters. The enemy said not one Israelite is going to risk his life to come across those waters. It's impossible. Men won't risk their lives for that, but there were these 11, these sons of Gad, men whose faces were like the faces of lions, and they were swift as gazelles, highly trained with the weapons of warfare. They said, the enemy's not going to take our harvest. We're going to cross this Jordan. We're going to put to flight the enemy that's got our land, and we're going to take the harvest back. Perhaps these men tied some makeshift rafts together to float their weapons and their gear, their supplies, and then holding on to those little rafts, they forded out, they pushed out into the waters, they went across and they put the enemy to flight on the right hand and on the left. These are David's mighty men. Sometimes we have to pass through waters to get the harvest. We have to take the battle. We have to take the opposition. Sometimes we shrink back at the waters. We stand back at the banks of the Jordan. But God's looking for mighty men and mighty women who say, we will push through. We will go on and take our inheritance in God. We're not going to allow flooded rivers to stop us. Martin Smith wrote a song years ago, give me strength to cross this water. Keep my heart upon your altar. There may be some here this morning that are facing rivers. You're facing floods. You're facing turbulent waters. And you're standing on this side, and there's a harvest on the other. The Lord wants to encourage you. Keep your heart on the altar. Keep your heart on the altar. Stay surrendered. Don't let discouragement, don't let any kind of resentment build up in your heart. Keep your heart surrendered to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to push through the waters. Make me like one of those mighty men of David. Give me the spirit of one of the sons of Gad. Jeremiah 12 and verse 5 says, if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how will you contend with horses? The Lord wants to increase our capacities. The Lord wants to increase our faith. The Lord wants to increase our ministries and our usefulness and our thrust against the enemy. If we've run with footmen and we've been wearied, but no, there is times we must contend with horses. There are greater battles ahead and greater inheritance for us. And then he said, if in the land of peace wherein you trusted, you were wearied, how will you do at the swelling of the Jordan? How will you do at the swelling of the Jordan when it's harvest time, but the waters are flooding? All those swift waters that came down from the mountains of Hermon and other mountains in the spring of the year, but it was barley harvest time. It was wheat harvest time for the Israelites, but the waters poured down violently through the Jordan, and people had to cross. These men said, we're going to cross. We're going to take the inheritance of the Lord. Perhaps you've shrank back at the waters of the Jordan. Perhaps you haven't wanted to enter into the fray, the battle. You say, I've missed my harvest. You may feel like that this morning. I've missed my harvest in God. In the spiritual land, I stand empty-handed. I don't have a basket full. I don't have granaries full. Because I haven't gone and fought the enemy like I should. I haven't gained my inheritance in the Lord. Well, I have good news for you. No worries, because harvest comes around once a year. You may have missed it in the past, but don't miss it this time. Say, I will cross the waters. I will believe God. I will take my spear. I will take my shield. I will take my sword. I will take my supplies. I will push out through those waters and trust God that I can put the enemies to flight and gain the inheritance of the Lord. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned, neither will the flame kindle upon you. 1 Peter chapter 1, times we face fire. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, sometimes we need things we might not recognize. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, many kinds of testings and temptations. He says that the trial of your faith, the trying, the refining of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When you go through the fire, you won't be burned. The fire of God, the fires that God permits to come upon our life, Those difficulties, those circumstances, those trials, they are there to refine us. They are there to set us free. They are there to break us out from ourselves. They're there to make us more useful to God. God wants to refine us. Mixed in with gold was always baser metals and impurities. And it was only the fire that could release the pure gold from the baser metals. Every one of us have baser metals in us. We have impurities. We have things lodging in the ore of our life that we don't even recognize as being detrimental to the work of the Spirit and the usefulness of God for us. And the Lord allows us to face fiery trials. And in those trials, there is a separation of the impurities from the gold. And God sets us free from ourselves. And God sets us free from the shackles and bondages that people put on us. And God sets us free to be refined as gold that we can be of glory to Him and more useful to Him. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy, because when He appears, you're going to have a refined and purified life to present to Him. It says, don't think it strange concerning these fiery trials, so some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. There are sufferings we endure as Christians that the world does not understand. The natural man does not understand. But God is working a process in our life. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 that if we suffer with Christ, we shall also reign with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. What are these sufferings of Christ? Oh, they are sufferings for the gospel. For sure they are persecutions of the faith, but they are more than that. They are the sufferings of spiritual development. They are the sufferings of refining. These are the sufferings of Christ that come upon us to rid us of ourselves and to make us more pure and more valuable and more useful in His sight. We need the fires of God. We need the refining. Now, the wonderful promise of the Lord is that when you pass through the fire, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither will the flame kindle on you. Our surrender is critical. In the fire, that yielding, that surrender, Lord, I don't understand what's happening around me. It's like I'm in a blaze of fire. There's a fiery trial, but I surrender to You, Lord. You bring forth the gold in my life. You separate from me whatever needs to be separated. You take the dross. You take the impurities. You take the resistance out of me, Lord, so that I'm purely Yours. Like the three Hebrew children, those sons, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, those young men, they faced the fire. They faced the fire. But all the fire did was set them free from their bondages and shackles. All the fire did was loose them from the chains, the binds, the bondages that men had put upon them. Three Hebrew sons, princes, that would not bow to the world system. They said, we're not going to bow to the idols of this world. We're not going to bow to the Babylon spirit. We're not going to sing the songs of this world, and we're not going to dance to its music. We're separated unto our holy Lord. Our bodies are His. He can do with us as He will. While everybody else was bowing to the spirit of the age, those Hebrew sons stood among a multitude of people, nations that were gathered there before King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, we will not bow. The enemy said, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it normally would be heated. We're going to cast these young men into that fire. The fire was so hot that natural men perished at the heat. And they took those Hebrew sons and they bound them with ropes, hand and feet. And it says they took them and they threw them into the fire. And then they looked with astonishment They said, those men are free in the fire. They're walking around in the fire, and there's somebody else in the fire with them. There's another person in the fire with them, somebody like the Son of God. He's walking in the fire. There's a fourth man in the fire with those Hebrew sons, the very Son of God. Daniel chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Jesus is with you in the fire. Whatever fiery trial you're facing, you know what that fire did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That fire set them free. That fire brought them out into a new day, a new authority, a new faith, a new power over the world, a new power over spiritual forces of darkness. They walked in an amazing relationship with God the rest of their life. The fire will set us free. Now, I'm so thankful it says there was no hurt upon them, not even the smell of smoke. When we go through the fires, if we stay surrendered to the Lord in loving dependence on Him, we come out with no baggage, no regret, no resentment, no sting of smoke in our eyes, no burn of smoke in our throat. We come out walking with the Son of God. We're purified. We're holy. Don't fear the fiery trials. Commit yourself to God and say, Lord, take me, set me free, loose me, bring me into a new day with you. All kinds of circumstances and situations of life, but everyone, don't think it a strange thing when you've been cast into a fiery furnace. Walk with the Son of God and be set free. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And verse 3 and 4 now. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy rescue. I gave Egypt for thy rescue. Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Ethiopia and Seba were North African nations, along with Egypt, and many of them obviously had relocated, mixed in, and were living in Egypt. God says, I gave Egypt for your rescue. Then verse 4, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. I mean, these words to me are so rare and sacred that I want to speak in hushed tones, lest I offend. But this is the promise of God to us as His people. He says, I will give men for you and people for your life. When God sent Moses down into Egypt, He said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh with a message. And that message is, let my people go that they may serve me. And Moses went down with the message, let my people go. But you know what happened with Pharaoh and his counselors and that nation? They resisted the will of God. They said, we're not going to allow these people to go into their inheritance in God. We're not going to allow this Israel nation to serve the Lord. And they resisted and they hardened their hearts and they fought against God until finally God said, as He brought the plagues down upon them, He said, there's one last plague. And when I bring this plague upon you, Egypt, you're going to not only let my people go, you're going to help them go. You're going to thrust them out. And God said, I'm going to pass through this land because of your obstinacy, because of the hardness of your heart. You wouldn't let them go voluntarily. But now I will come in judgment on this nation. And I will pass through the land on a certain night. And the firstborn of every house in Egypt, the firstborn will die and be slain, except those people who have the blood of the Lamb over their houses. And God came through the land in one night. And true to his word, the firstborn in Egypt died in every family. And there was a cry and there was mourning. And God says, I gave Egypt for your rescue. I had to do that so you could be rescued. God said, I will give men for you. I will give people for you, for your life. What a glorious promise of God on our lives. So protected by the Lord that if people try and resist the will of God for us, that if people become too obstinate, too hard-hearted against us and will not give in to the purposes of God, that God will eliminate them. God will take them off the scene. Moses, don't be afraid to go down into Egypt, Exodus 4:19, because all the men that sought your life are dead. Moses, I'm sending you down into Egypt, but I give you a promise right at the start that all those men that sought your life, I've already cleared the land of them so you can go and do my work and bring out a people unto the salvation of God. Acts chapter 12, Peter is in prison. James, the brother of John, has already been put to death by Herod, and now Peter is in prison, and Herod is wanting to, with the religious authorities, take Peter's life as well. Imprison the gospel. Imprison this man of God. Let's hinder the gospel. Let's not allow the witness of Jesus Christ to go any further. But Peter was God's man. And down in that prison that night, there was a miracle. And God gave men for Peter's life. And God killed people or allowed people to be killed for Peter's life, because that night as he was sleeping and the next day he was to be slain, and the Lord sent an angel and Peter was woken in the middle of the night and he quickly gathered his belongings and put shoes on his feet, and the angel escorted him out past the soldiers and the guards and the second ward and the third ward and finally out the iron gate, and he was free. And in the morning the authorities came to take Peter to his death. And Peter wasn't there, and soldiers and guards and jailkeepers were slain. God gave people for Peter's life that night. And it wasn't long after that Herod the king fell under the judgments of God because of his rebellion and resistance against God, and he was eaten of worms within days. And the gospel, the Bible says, increased, and the word of God increased in the land. These are solemn words. What about Jesus Christ himself? How many times they sought to take his life, but he was protected. You think of that moment in Nazareth where he came back to his hometown and stood up in the synagogue and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel and heal the brokenhearted and heal the sick and bring recovery of sight and set people free. And as he began to speak, those in the synagogue became so angry and so full of scorn and wrath against him, they couldn't handle his message that he was the Savior, that he was the Son of God. They were bound in their religion. They were studying the scriptures day and night, but they had no relationship with God. And the Bible says that all of a sudden they rushed on Jesus and they took him and they pushed him out of the synagogue and up the hill, a brow of the hill of Nazareth, ready to cast him down to his death. But somehow, miraculously, he slipped through their fingers, made his way out through the crowd. They couldn't touch him. The Holy Spirit miraculously did not let the people touch him at an untimely death. How many times they sought him, it says they plotted, they sought to kill him, they sought to kill him, but he was protected by the Holy Spirit. No one could take Jesus before his time. The only time they could kill him was when he willingly surrendered his life for the salvation of the world. So protected are we. So protected are we that no one can touch us before our time. Amen. As Jesus, so are we in this world. If we walk in full surrender to the Lord will eliminate people. The Lord will rid us at times of those who oppose his ways in us. What a promise. I'm the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. Verses 5, 6, and 7. We'll close with these. 5 to 6. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. This is a promise of the gathering of all nations to Jesus Christ and the gospel. I will gather you from the east. I'll gather you from the west, from the north, from the south. Well, obviously, we live in the western part of the world. We've been the ones that have been gathered from the west. But all over the world, people are gathered to the name of Jesus Christ, gathered to the salvation of the Lord. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. We are the people of the Lord. We've been redeemed by the Lord. And we live in the promise of Isaiah chapter 43. I wonder this morning, is there anyone here that says, I want to be part of this people of God? I want to be part of this body of Christ, this Israel of God, this redeemed company. Then open up your heart to the Lord and surrender your life. Repent of your sin. Say, Jesus, I want you to gather me. Draw me into your presence. Forgive my sin. Change me and make me whole. Let no one miss the salvation of the Lord this morning. Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Verse 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Everyone that is called by my name, put your name in there. Put yourself in the verse. We've been called by his name and we've been created for his glory. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We have been created in Christ Jesus, born again, new people. I have formed him. The Apostle Paul said, I travail in birth that Christ would be formed in you, that the formation of Christ, his image, his likeness, his maturity would come forth. Yea, I have made him. Unto him that loosed us from our sins and washed us in his blood and has made us kings and priests unto God. What a glorious salvation we have. Well, let's stand this morning and read these seven verses one more time. Draw them all together in your spirit and live in the power of them for your own life. Isaiah 43, 1-7, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. How many say amen to the word of God this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We belong to Jesus Christ, our Lord, gathered out of all nations to serve him. If there's anyone this morning that needs special prayer for some need, special prayer, acceptance of Christ as Savior, to be part of the great people of God, please slip out from where you are. People will be here to minister to you at the altar at the front. Come and receive from the Lord. But let's all of us take a few minutes right now and begin to rejoice and praise God in worship for all he's done for us. Thank him for his glorious promises, his protection, his creation, his formation, everything that he's done to bring us forth to his glory.